the seventh trumpet rapture, and that's what I've always taught. I got the impression that whenever the rapture occurred, there would be some of the people that were profane, all the people that were profane, would just be cut off and go to hell. That's what I kind of thought. But since I danced around the subject, I never could quite make up my mind. But I'm going to tell you something that I discovered, and I've come to believe that there's a degree of disrespect called profane that sometimes you pass over the limit. And I've run into scriptures now and then that make me think that. You have to really get out and study what the word means, because not all people that are identified as profane seem to go to be separated and headed for hell. For instance, Esau was the brother of Jacob, and it says he was cut off. Well, the Bible clearly states he was profane. I've got to do some more research on this. But I think a lot of people, not a lot, but some of these people that are profane go past a limit. I would not try to set what it is, but I believe they do. So that's why I keep telling people, make sure that you're not profaning God's name. And I get a suspicion sometimes that men and women go past that limit in the use of the word profane. In Malachi 1:12, it says, "But ye have profaned it, in that ye say the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat," the Lord's meat, "is contemptible." Now, what it says here is interesting. Now, that's Malachi 1:12. It says, "And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you." Well, in Malachi 2:1, it says, "O ye priest, this commandment is for you." Now, the Bible indicates that there are people who are profaning the name of the Lord, and Malachi seems to identify one here when he says in Amos 2:7, "Hand in hand, that pant after the dust of the earth on the head of the poor." I guess a pretty good example of this would be like the man who was in hell, and there was a conversation going on between this man and the poor man who ate food from the rich man's table, and he just got it out of his garbage. Now, this says that pant after the dust of the earth on the head of the poor. Well, this man was in hell, and that's not just something that the Lord made up for an illustration. These two existed because proper names are used and everything. He says, "They that pant after the dust of the earth on the head of the poor." Well, certainly the one who was being talked to was poor physically. He wasn't what you call poor. He was poor physically, but it's interesting what it says about him. "And his father will go into the same maid to profane my holy name." So here we have a situation where we have a poor man that a rich man who thought more of his money than anything else. And I doubt if he really understood much about what God wanted. I guess he may have been kind of like a something that had grown on to the wheat. "They pant on the dust of the earth, on the head of the poor. So, and turn aside the way of the meek. And a man and his father will go unto the same maid to profane my holy name." This is a generation thing where this man grows up and his dad goes in and has sexual relations with the same maid, and the son does the same thing. You say, well, that sounds pretty profane to me. It does to me too. Now, Leviticus 19:5-8, he says, "And if ye offer a sacrifice of peace..." Can you hear me back there? You hear me okay? "And if ye offer a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord, ye shall offer it at your own will. It shall be eaten the same day ye offer it." It's just talking about going in to your offering, into the... "And if aught remain until the third day, it shall be burned in the fire." He's talking about when he provided for Israel for 3 days, when they went through the time that sacrifices were offered for their sins in the wilderness, back when they had the tent, and that was their tabernacle. And he told them, "I will provide enough." But a lot of them who didn't believe what God said, they thought God was they thought he was, they couldn't trust him. They didn't trust him. So they'd gather a whole bunch every time they went out, and they built up an abundant supply. And they had the thought process of a man who had tremendous confidence in himself and who built up wealth. And if you don't think the devil will help such a man, he does. And it helps him build up wealth. And if the man gets hooked by it, he gets hooked pretty good by it. If you go to excess on certain things, you better be careful. I'm very careful. And I have looked back on my ministry and I've wondered at times, boy, I came close here. I'm nothing like this. He says, "And if it remain until the third day, it shall be burnt in the fire." He said, if he's just still there on the third day, well, he said, burn all of it. And he said, it is abominable. It shall not be accepted. Now, this is a priest thing. "Therefore, everyone that eateth it," but this is talking to the priests, "shall bear his iniquity." Therefore, conclusion, everyone that eateth it shall bear his iniquity, because he hath profaned the hallowed thing of the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among the people. Does that mean that God will kill him there, and does he go to hell? Well, I think he does. And I think that after you get, I think there are a lot of people that really don't trust in God, but they have a tremendous amount of confidence in themselves. I know that's possible. In my case, I admit I got feeling pretty smart, and I wasn't at all. So I'm not worried about anything in the past, but I do realize that as a pastor, I ought to tell people about this. And as your pastor, I ought to tell you that I try very hard to make sure that everything I teach and preach is something God approves of. And if I find out that I'm doing, and God bothers me about it, he just won't seem to let me do it. And I just finally tell him, I say, well, Lord, if that's not right, I'm not going to present it. And then I just go on. But I think that what's mentioned here, if I was God, I'd send him to hell. You say, well, that's awful, Brother Michael Murray. Aren't you glad I'm not God? Aren't you glad he has mercy? I'm glad I'm not God. I don't want to be God. And I don't want to be the... wonder where I'm, what kind of job I'm going to have in heaven. If I don't end up living with the image, you think I'm going to be mad? No. If God decides I'm supposed to do something else, then I'll do something else, and I think Imogene will do the same. So when I talk about stuff like this, I try to show this to you, and it has caused me to be very cautious about what I preach and teach, and to make sure that I haven't digressed into the point where, boy, that'll really preach good. And it may preach good, but I've got to do a lot more research on this. But I'll tell you right now that whenever I get ready to present something, if God isn't with me, he sure does work hard to keep me from preaching it. And I thanked him constantly for this. So the church and the tent in the wilderness, the temple, all these things had to do with God. And if you love God, and I do, how do you know? I love him because he first loved me. You say, well, didn't he breathe into the one he created, the first Adam, and didn't he sin? Well, I was born totally depraved, and God watched over me and protected me and kept me by his power. And I'm not a Calvinist or anything like that. But if you love God, you realize that he first loved you. And you realize that everything he did was right. So you try to figure out, what did he do? And the truth of the matter is, he didn't do anything wrong. Now, Malachi 1 through 14. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. This is the first chapter of Malachi, verses 1 through 14. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved me? Was not Esau Jacob's brother? He said, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. He says, God is speaking through you, Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord. This is what God has to say. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau. That's quite a statement. I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau. Now, is Esau in hell? You say, well, are you going to tell us? I'm going to let you figure it out for yourself. And later on, I'll maybe go back and comment on this. And his heritage, waste for the dragons of the wilderness. The word dragons there means like an adversary or a creature and in this particular case it probably means a crocodile, but a lot of times when these King James translators came across these, they didn't know what it was. I would say this was some type of a adversary with an animalistic characteristic, but I'm showing you this because this is something I want you to think about. And I think about stuff of this a lot because when God called me, I didn't realize how dangerous it is to cross God. And I wanted to find out. I didn't want to find out how far I could push him, but I wanted to find out what he said and what it meant. And that's not always easy. Matter of fact, the longer I study his word, the more I ask him to give me wisdom, understanding, and discernment. Because I fear God. But I fear God because when he saved me, I hadn't done anything to deserve it. He just convicted me by his Holy Spirit, and God has all the power in heaven there. That's it. There's one God. He operates in three offices, and I didn't realize that the night I got saved. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. That's what Edom had to say. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down, and they shall call them the border of wickedness, and a people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. Now, when you take all these scriptures and you start looking at them, and you go through here and you say, God said this, God said that, God said this, God said that, you've got to go back and say, well, who is this that he's talking about? Is Esau in hell? Against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. I've had to go back and study and study and study and study and study and study and study. And that's what I do when I can't get over to my computer. The Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. And when he says the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel, in other words, God is going to let the world be bordered from, and your eyes shall see, and ye, Israel, plural, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. He says, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. Why did he keep telling the New Testament church that he had called out? And I, like Robert, I believe he was called out up around the Sea of Galilee. When he called him out, and this is in Malachi 1:14, and it's interesting. He said, "A son, the Lord." Let me read that. "And your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel." Then he says, "A son honoreth his father. If then I be a father, where's mine honor?" You know, when I pray, I try to have the people I know included in it. And I could say, "My Father who art in heaven," but he said, "Thou shalt say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." You say, "Well, it's just an example." I understand that. But I'm very meticulous about certain things for myself. And I'm a lot easier on others than I am myself. But there are certain things in the scriptures. I know they're the truth. I don't doubt what the Lord says. But if I don't have wisdom, understanding, and discernment, which had to be given to me, and believe me, if he said, "Come and see," well, they'd already been saved, scripturally baptized by John, and they had already followed the Lord a while. So what did he mean? "Come and see." I didn't transplant this burning fire I have inside me to please God. I didn't just say, "Well, I think I want to please God." There's a burning fire inside me. I didn't put it there. God did. You say, "Well, you must think you're one of the two witnesses." No, I was accused of that in Africa, and I wanted to choke that old boy. But he kept telling the disciples, he said, you don't want to be the first in the kingdom of God. And he had to teach me, Tom. He didn't whisper it in my ear, but he whispered it in my heart. "You're a bondservant. I bought you, and I paid for you, and you belong to me. That's what I am." You say, "Well, are you certain?" I'm certain. Because a bondservant, when his master sends him to do something, he's very careful not to go beyond the bonds of what his master sent him to do. And Abraham and Isaac and Jacob would send their servants out because they trusted them, because Abraham became God's friend. And I think I can speak for Abraham and for the scriptures. Abraham was very, very careful when he made mistakes to profit from them. And he was a man that cared about what God thought of him and cared what he said to his servants. And he cared about Lot, and he cared about his nephew. He said, "Where is mine honor?" It's important to give God his honor. And do you know what a bondservant is? I've taught it here for years. If a man finished his term of being bought and paid for as a hired servant, he was required to be let free under the law of Moses. But if he loved his master, he could go to his master and tell him he wanted to be his servant forever. Meant forever, till his master died or he died, whatever. They would take a little pen, or I don't know what it was. It wasn't like this modern thing we got, but they would punch a hole through his ear, and they would put a ring in it. And that was the mark of a bondservant. It was a public acknowledgement that he had chosen to stay with his master, that he loved his master. I think that's what happens to you when you get saved. You're saved, you're sealed eternally, I believe that. But how genuine is your commitment to God? Well, it doesn't have anything to do with going to heaven, but you'll never understand it until you commit yourself to God. You'll never understand it. I had some problems with baptism because the people that really controlled my life didn't want me to. I'm not blaming them, but it did cause me a great deal of problem. Do you know the children of the ones who are living for the Lord and who look upon themselves as servants? They're supposed to set an example for their children. And they're supposed to set the example of a bondservant to God so that their children will have an opportunity to understand, this is the most important thing in my life. Is serving God the most important thing in your life? And do you look upon yourself as a servant? Your husband did. I thought that of Brother Shipley. He was a bondservant. And he set the example. And Robert is too. That's my opinion. But a bondservant is someone who is concerned about the welfare of the body. The welfare of the church is the local body. And he has an attitude given to him by God. He wants to understand things. He wants to know what God's word means. He has a devotion to it. Your husband was like that. That's why I loved your husband. He's a wonderful man. A wonderful, wonderful man. I shouldn't say your husband, your father. I'm losing my mind. I have to be very careful and say I don't have dysentery. Because I get mixed up all the time. And Lord knows. But you know, the part of me that really needed to grow was the part of me that I thought was my strong point. And I was wrong. He says, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name, and say, wherein have we despised thy name? I tell you what happens to you after you get saved. You finally learn you're a bondservant. You say, what does a bondservant do? Whatever his master tells him to do. That's what he does. And until I've discovered that, my life was miserable. I was saved and had scriptural baptism, but my attitude was just, it wasn't right. I didn't know it. Here's what it said. Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar. And you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that you say the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, in other words, if you bring an animal up here to sacrifice, and you pick out the blind one that is of no practical value, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. They know what the governor would do to them. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person? Saith the Lord of hosts. And now I pray thee, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means. Will he regard your person? Saith the Lord of hosts. Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught, for nothing? Neither do you kindle fire on mine altar for naught. He said, that's not something you do just as a convenience. That's not something you do just because I command. He said, why do you ask me that question? The question he asked was, the Lord, the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. And he's talking about the priest. And your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. And then if I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest, that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have ye, we despised thy me? And he tells them, who is there among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do you kindle fire on mine altar for naught. He said, that isn't something you do just because you're supposed to do it. It's because you have recognized that you are a bondservant and you belong to me. You say, well, are you sure? I am. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hands. See, what happens if you get saved and you take an offering in? The Lord said that in order for an offering to be accepted, it must be offered in spirit and in truth. You say, do you mean you think some people are saved and have gone through the baptism and everything else, yet they don't worship God correctly? From the rising of the sun even to the going down of my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, a pure offering. For thy name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts, but ye have profaned it. There's that profane. But ye, this is talking to the priest. But it says, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. If you're a bondservant, you're responsible to God to let your children see that you're a bondservant. Sister Trusty, I believe your husband, I believe that he was a bondservant. That's why I liked him so much. I'm just learning to be a bondservant, but that's what I am. And I accept the position of split rapture. And I accept it. You say, well, Brother McMurray, are you concerned about heaven? I'm not concerned about being there. But I'm concerned about running the race. You say, well, you mean you think you can preach something wrong here? If it benefits you? Yes, I think I can. You say, well, I'd never do that. You're probably the very one that will. He said also, behold, what a weariness. He said, he's talking to priests here. He said, what a weariness is it contemptible. And you have, you know what it means to snuff at it? When you go in and your wife's cooked and you go, and she can tell that you don't like it. I'm not worried about you. She'll probably kill you and you'll be martyred. But the truth of the matter is, and the fruit thereof, even his meat is contemptible. Ye said also, behold, what awareness is it? And ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts, and ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand? And the Lord said, But cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth and sanctify unto the Lord a corrupt thing. You just described this generation. But cursed be the deliverer, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. Because, for I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. What would have happened if Israel had done what God wanted? That's what grace is. God went ahead and gave them the opportunity to repent. They never took it. They still haven't repented. And they're going into the time of great white throne judgment. They're going to be separated because a lot of other Christians will already be in heaven. But they won't be separated. They'll be separated before all the lost. But all the lost are going to hell. You say, well, Brother McMurray, what do you do about this? I try very hard. You say, well, how do you know God knows it? God knows me. He's known me a long time. And he knows how weak in the faith I am. And he saved me by grace. That's what he did. And then he taught me, Tom, don't preach anything unless you're sure I approve of it. Now, if that's not God's leadership, I'd sure like to know what it is. And he does that in everything I do. You say, well, have you ever made any mistakes? Yeah. You say, well, what do? I repent of them and tell God I'm sorry. Then later on, or maybe right away, I admit them to you. God set me free to be a bondservant. You say, well, if God sets you free to be a bondservant, why are you so happy about it? Because he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I know that I'm going to heaven, but inside me there's this constant awareness. What am I going to have when I get there? You say, well, you're going to get to live with Imogene forever. If that's not God's will, I don't want to live with Imogene forever. And Imogene's already up there, and if she was here today, I think she could tell you that. We loved each other very much. But both of us learned what a bondservant is. And you want to serve God. And you wake up in the morning, you want to serve God. You worry about God, am I going too far? And don't worry. If you go too far, he'll let you know. And it is now. I have 1 minute left. Another early finish. Yay! Heavenly Father, we thank you for everything you do. We thank you for teaching us about ourselves and about you and about the devil.